Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson here with our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker. And Meg, I am excited about today's program because one of our guests is one of my best friends in the world, Mr. Tobin Heim. Tobin and I have worked together for many years. He was the best man in my wedding. We co-wrote a book together, and I know our audience is going to really enjoy what he and his wife have to share with us today.
Mm-hmm. You know, the program you're referring to, Ryan, is called Merging Premarital Expectations. And today we'll hear the first part of the broadcast. Just as you said a moment ago, Tobin is joined with his wife, Joanne, and your dad, Dr. James Dobson, as they discuss a book the Heims wrote together, and it is called Happily Ever After, a real-life look at your first year of marriage and beyond.
Well, Dr. Meeker, before we introduce the Heims and get back into the program, I want to set the stage for why this broadcast is so important. I was reading an article in the Huffington Post the other day which had a graph that showed the marriage rate, or the amount of couples getting married in America, has been on a downward trend for several years. According to the chart, in 2008, the divorce rate actually passed the marriage rate in the United States. That means that today, more people are getting divorced than are getting married, and that is so sad.
So, Ryan, just to clarify, you said that in 2008, the divorce rate passed the marriage rate.
Yeah, that's
right.
But what really jumped out for me from the article was a line at the top which said, "Marital disillusion may be contagious, and states' cultural and political identities may influence their residents' marriage pattern as well." And what that's saying is that culture and politics were factors in divorce. Now, how can that be? Well, I would suggest that it may have something to do with the fact that these couples didn't talk about some of these issues before they walked down the aisle.
That is so important, Ryan. In 2008, America was racing full speed into one of the worst economic crises in the history of our country. And over the past several years, one, if not the leading cause of divorce in America has been around finances. Mm-hmm. Couples often disagree on how money should be spent. They disagree on debt or have too much of it. Money is yet one more issue, a very important one, that couples must deal with before the wedding day.
Oh, you couldn't be more right, Dr. Meeker. And that's why I'm so excited to introduce Tobin and Joanne Heim in our broadcast today. They are great friends of our ministry here at Family Talk. But before we listen to the show, I want to introduce the Heims and give a brief update on their family. Tobin and Joanne have been married now for over 20 years. They have two daughters, who I adore. Tobin has worked with me for many years. He was the executive producer and co-host of my old radio program, Grounded. He and his wife, Joanne, are both writers, bloggers, speakers. They've co-authored books together, like the one we're going to talk about today, Happily Ever After, A Real-Life Look at Your First Year of Marriage and Beyond. And a further update on the family, those that listen to Grounded know that 2 years ago, Joanne suffered a massive stroke while running on the treadmill, and they can still use our prayers. Joanne has gotten a little bit better, but there's a long way to go, and we're going to keep them in our prayers here at Family Talk.
Here now is Tobin and Joanne Heim with Dr. James Dobson on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Tobin and Joanne, it is really good to have you here today.
Thanks
for having us here, Dr. Dobson.
Is this the only book you've written?
We've got a couple. We wrote a book before this one called What's Your Story that was designed to help people coming out of college develop good, thoughtful relationships through sharing their story with others. And then we've got a Bible study series that we've been working on. A couple of those Bible studies are out. We've got a couple yet to go.
You have really opened yourselves in this book and let folks see some of your early struggles, because you can't help anybody else if you're not honest about yours, right?
That's absolutely right. I think when our friends got married and they came to us and said, "Oh my gosh, we're fighting over the stupidest things. What do we do?" You know, we were able to say, "Yeah, we know how that is, and here's why," and tell them exactly what we'd been through. And once they'd heard our story, they knew that we knew where they were.
Mm-hmm. First of all, Joanne, you were graduating from high school when you got married. So your dating was in the high school years.
Right. We met when I was 16, high school sweethearts, and dated through high school. Got engaged the night before I graduated from high school, much to my parents' surprise. And we ended up getting married about halfway through college. So we had a very long engagement, long enough for me to come up with some pretty unrealistic expectations of what I thought that marriage would be like.
Did you have unrealistic expectations?
Oh, hugely unrealistic. Some of them, you know, were pretty normal. But before we got married, I could make macaroni and cheese. That was the extent of my culinary ability. I thought, for some reason, that being married would make me a gourmet cook. I thought I would be instantly beautiful. I would look gorgeous every morning rolling out of bed. I thought that I would make Tobin perfectly happy, and I just couldn't do that.
You know, reality sets in so quickly in those situations. You're coming out of what's a very busy, stressful time and getting the wedding planned, and then you go on the honeymoon, and you realize there's some new dynamics at play, and then you come back and you get into jobs. And a lot of times those expectations are exacerbated by the fact that you're just worn out early in those days of your marriage.
Yeah. I mean, just our wedding night, we got married at 7 o'clock at night. We had a beautiful candlelight wedding. By the time the reception was over, we got in the limousine. We drove to the Broadmoor Hotel. It was just long enough away for me to fall sound asleep.
In the back of the limo.
In the back of the limo.
Oh, goodness. Well, we drove to Santa Barbara. We lived in Los Angeles, and we drove to Santa Barbara. We got there about 1 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, we were exhausted, too. And at 6 o'clock the next morning, the intercom came on with music, and we couldn't figure out how to turn it off. And, you know, I'm fumbling around trying to find the switch. And we finally got that turned off. And at 7 o'clock, the cleaning lady came in, banged through the door. So that was the beginning. And from there, the next night, there was a guy walking up back and forth on the floor above us. And the next night, there were drunks in the hotel we were in. So by the time we got home, we were totally worn out, and we had to start teaching. So we began our married life exhausted. And you know what? We've been exhausted ever since. How about you, Tobin? What was the expectation?
Well, I think for most of us, for me especially, I expected a lot of things to be similar to the way they had been in my home. Joanne and her family did things very differently than my family did, and somehow my expectation or experience with her family hadn't clued me in that maybe Joanne's thinking about how Sunday afternoons would be spent and how we would spend our time together and how much TV we would watch and how we would fold the towels, and really a lot of little stuff was really off
base. You guys had premarital counseling, didn't
you? We did have some premarital counseling.
And I'll bet you none of that was talked about.
You know, at least our experience has been in premarital counseling that you talk about the big things. You know, you talk about some issues of sexuality and issues of finance and issues of maybe spirituality and how your spiritual lives are going to come together. But in terms of the little things, especially for us, communication style and conflict were two things that we were really unprepared for. My family has a pretty unique communication style. We get together and we tend to act like a bunch of lawyers, and we reason our cases out when there's conflict, and we tend to get into it. And we're not fighting with each other, but to somebody who's uninitiated into our family, it could seem like
it's
that.
Awful.
Because
it's
terrible.
You didn't talk about conflict, right?
Well, when we had conflict in my family, my parents had the last word. And so as a child, my job was to obey my parents. And if I disagreed, I could say I disagreed, but it's not likely I was going to change their mind. Whereas Tobin could change his parents' mind if he had his case well thought out and could argue it effectively. So when we had a disagreement about whatever it was, he would come on like a steamroller. I mean, he's got examples and, you know, all these reasons why I should leave. And I just sort of sat there, you know, with my mouth open. I just didn't even know what to say.
I'm referring back to my journal to say, well, if you remember 6 days ago at 4 o'clock, we talked about the towel issue. Yeah. And I thought we'd come to some consensus on that. And now apparently that's come apart and we probably need to revisit that. You know, it's just crazy.
You guys
stuff.
Had known each other since you were 16.
Yeah.
Right.
Or since you, Joanne, were 16. Why'd you never discover that about this man?
Well, we had had some conflict before we got married, but most of our conflict was us against the world. We were really young when we got married, and not everybody was on board with that. And so we felt like if we weren't united, everything was going to fall apart. And once we got married, it was sort of like, okay, the deal's done. Now we can sort of disagree with each other a little bit.
Well, and for a lot of couples, us especially, I think, you get that sense of we can't get away from each other now.
Yeah.
You know, we live in this. We had a very small, just tiny little apartment, and you're stuck in this space together, and you realize if you want to go to bed tonight, you're going to have to work through some of these issues.
Then
Joanne didn't get to go back to her house. I didn't go back to my house. So that cooling off period that I think as a dating couple we had gotten used to.
Yeah,
you know what? Let's just talk about it tomorrow.
You had to cling to your brink, and she clung to her brink.
That's right.
And you're in the same bed and you're not talking. That's very, very
That's
awkward.
Right. And so that sort of timing that we had gotten used to in our dating relationship didn't exist anymore. And for us, and maybe for other couples, maybe for you and your wife, the dynamic going from being a dating couple to being an engaged couple to being a married couple, there are just things that are very distinctive at each of those levels. And I don't think we did a really good job of anticipating just how different married life would be from our engaged life, from our dating life.
Well, you've just touched one of the biggies, because when you're dating, you can get in your car and go home. And you cannot see each other for 2 days.
That's right.
And you can cool off, but you can't do it once you're married.
Yeah.
And then the conflict can get greater.
It takes some creativity. One of our first fights when we were dating was about how I drove. And I drive perfectly well, and there was lots of room between me and the curb. Tobin didn't think so. And we pulled into a gas station. I got sent to the passenger seat. He got in the driver's seat and proceeded to tell me for 15 minutes how wrong I was. And finally—
I don't remember any of that.
No, yes, you do. And we came up with something called the 15-minute timeout rule. It's, you know— Tobin realized that I needed more time to think about what I wanted to say so I wouldn't say anything hurtful and so that I could even just process through my feelings, because I don't think on my feet the way that he does. And so that's one of those things that I think carried over from being engaged to being married.
So when the rule was invoked, you didn't talk about anything for 15
minutes. He had to leave me alone.
Yeah, we sort of went to our corners at that point, especially after we were married in our little tiny apartment. Joanne would say, 15-minute timeout, and then she would go to the bathroom and lock herself in the bathroom. And I wasn't allowed to knock on the door or talk to her or say anything or get in her way until she decided to come out.
How'd you cope with that?
Not very well.
You're all ready for combat.
I'm ready.
The adrenaline is flowing.
But that was the great thing about the timeout rule. The benefit was for both of us. Joanne was able to really form her thoughts and decide what she wanted to say, and I was able to cool off. And half of the time when we would get back together, the heat was completely out.
Yeah.
Of whatever the issue was, because I had time to think and to calm down.
That's
Joanne
good,
had some time to
idea.
Decide what she wanted to say. So most of the time when we got back together after that 15-minute timeout, it wasn't really a conflict anymore as much as it was a thoughtful discussion.
And, you know, that goes back to our expectations, I think. Because my family did it so differently, I sort of looked at Tobin not as my dad, but in that role where when he made a decision, that's where it stood. And it was sort of hard for me to realize that I could change his mind. And that that he really wanted to know all of my opinions and to take that into consideration.
But you'd never seen that modeled.
Right. That happened, I think, between my parents. But as the child, I didn't see that.
One of your big fights early on, as you said in the book, was how to fold towels.
Oh, yes. We moved into our apartment
now,
after we got married.
That's a biggie.
It's a huge issue that
everyone like a big
is
deal
gonna
at
have
the
to
time,
deal with.
Let me tell you.
But I would, you know, spent the morning in the linen closet, got all the towels folded the way that I wanted them, moved on into the kitchen, and I came back in the bathroom at one point where the linen closet was, and there were towels everywhere. And I said, honey, what are you doing? He said, I'm folding the towels the right way.
Oh, boy. Tobin, you had.
Yeah, that was not the right thing.
Shame on you.
What do you mean the right way? And I was convinced that we were going to get divorced. I thought, you know, if we can't even agree about towels and we're only like 3 weeks into our marriage, how are we going to make it?
This is marriage. I don't want any part of
it. Exactly that.
Things that we never think of to talk about before we end up in the situation. I think our churches and our premarital counselors and our pastors and our families do a great job getting us thinking and talking about the big issues that we're going to face early on in our marriage. And it's those little ones that cause that element of surprise, which raises the blood pressure and you get a little adrenaline flowing because you've never talked about it and you don't know how it's going to work out in the end, that cause that conflict or tension.
Joanne, did Tobin ever fight dirty?
Yes, in the sense that he knew what pushed my buttons. And for us, that was him coming on like a steamroller. And he knew that if he... even if he was nice about it, if he would just hound me and hound me and hound me, I didn't have a chance to get my feet underneath me and to know what I really thought about an issue. And so that's how he would win.
Hmm. Did you ever fight dirty?
Oh, yes. I'm very good at it.
What were your techniques?
I tend to be an always or never kind of a person. I speak in broad generalizations.
Do you ever attack his personhood?
Not so much that. I think the way that I would attack him most effectively, and I'm not very proud of this, is I would run away. And we've talked before about how we came up with a 15-minute timeout rule, and that worked because after the 15 minutes, we were coming back to talk about something.
You don't mean really run away. You just mean you withdrew.
Well, or lock myself in the bathroom and refuse to come out no matter how hard he pounded on the door. So I would try and run away. And
doesn't your heart go out to the young couple that's there now?
Oh, yes.
It's
and
so
they're just
hard.
Chewing each other up and causing so much pain and misery that isn't necessary. Life is filled with a lot of pain anyway.
The other thing that we did, and I think a lot of couples do this, is we had a tendency to revisit past grievances.
Yeah.
And we would get to the end of an issue. Mm-hmm. And instead of letting that go and refusing to let that re-enter the discussion, 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, we would get into something and then that issue would come back. Well, a month ago, you did this really bad thing, so get off my back because now it's your turn. And that's a thing that we really had to work on, leaving those issues in the past, instead of letting them come back into a current conflict.
What should somebody have said to you, or what could they have said that would have lessened this difficulty?
I'm not exactly sure of the specific words that they could have said. I think the idea of family history is so important, and we hadn't really thought about that. Mm-hmm. On the surface, our families look very similar. Two kids, assortment of dogs as we were growing up. Our parents lived down the street from each other. Mm-hmm. And I think we just assumed that because on the outside we look the same, we did the same sorts of things. And one of the things that we talk about in the book is that family history is so important.
It is.
Because where you come from shapes who you are. How you saw your parents deal with anything affects how you think you're going to deal with that in your marriage. And that's just a huge, huge issue that I don't think we spend that much time looking at, which is why we included so much of that in the book.
You know, if people would have said to us, you're not the only one, that would have made a huge difference as well, because I think early on in those marriages, you expect, because of what you've seen in media and what you've read in books and what you've experienced in other ways, that everybody's marriage is perfect. You know, the first year is the honeymoon and it's blissful and wonderful. So when we started to fight and when we would have conflict, there's that kind of stigma that comes on that you think we're the only ones that are doing this. There must be something wrong or bad about us. Our marriage must be flawed at a very, very basic level. And just having a couple come alongside to say, you guys are not the only one. All couples fight in their first year of marriage. What have
let me ask you a very personal question, only because you included it in your book, and I'm not looking for intimate details. But sex was a disappointment on the honeymoon for you.
Oh yes, and part of that is because my expectations came from romance novels, which all end
Harlequin,
with
the
yes, with they lived happily ever after.
You know, one of the things, and you made the point, and I think we've made the point too, when we got to our honeymoon, we were so tired. That first night in the limo, Joanne fell asleep, and yet when we got in that hotel room, there were certain things we thought we were expected to do.
Yeah.
Pressure is on.
It's performance.
And now it's time to take care of that, and yet we were so exhausted, and you're emotionally drained, and you're emotionally overwhelmed, and anybody that's been married knows sexual intimacy is a very emotional experience. And when you're emotionally drained and when you're physically exhausted is not the best time to get into that. And yet the expectation was there, hey, this is something we have to do because we're married now and it's our honeymoon. And so coupled with Joanne's expectations and the way that her expectations were formed, boy, that was a challenge for us.
Particularly those of us in the church who've tried to live by moral standards and have anticipated that night and have all kinds of ideas about what it's going to be. It almost cannot possibly measure up to years and years. Since you were 12, you've been thinking about that.
Yeah.
And then there it is, and it turns out to be an exhausted experience.
Well, and you're in love with this person, and your appetite has built. You know, for Joanne and I, we were engaged for 19 months. And I wouldn't recommend that to anybody.
No.
It was a long time. And we tell young couples, you know, when you know you're getting married, put it into motion and get on with it. So for us, our appetites for one another had built for so long, and at the same time, the result of that was not really positive.
Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to get into it. You have to learn each other's bodies, and it takes time to do that.
Yeah. And there's a mindset change. Having grown up in the church, youth group, this is bad. You do not do this. If you do this, you are grounded for life. You know, it's sort of, you know, you even at the rehearsal dinner, if we were to have had sex that night, there would have been big trouble. But then it's like all of a sudden what was forbidden is now okay. And that's kind of a hard shift, I think, at least it was for me.
It even goes beyond that. It goes from thou shalt not to thou shalt regularly and with great passion.
You know?
So it becomes an obligation. Yeah. And sex doesn't work very well as an obligation.
Right. And so all of these things come cascading and crashing together, expectations and the mindset that you're coming out of and the mindset that you're supposed to go into. And boy, for us, it took a while for our physical relationship, for the intimacy that we experienced to really become a real satisfying and beneficial experience for us.
You know what's really wonderful, and young people don't know this, that after 10 or 20 or 30 years, you're still learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it can continue to be fresh and new and exciting after many, many years, because it does take time to learn anything. And this is one of them.
Well, and for us too, and I think maybe for a lot of couples, early on in your marriage, you're taking such a short and immediate view of things. You're not thinking about, we're going to be together for 50 or 60 years this marriage. And so it's got to be right today and it's got to be right now. And we better get this figured out this minute, because if we don't, that's a problem.
And that goes back to your question about what advice would have helped. As a woman, I spent a lot of time thinking and dreaming about my wedding day. And we spent lots of time and effort and money planning this huge wedding without a lot of thought for the marriage, because we were short-sighted. We wanted, you know, our goal was December the 27th. That's what we're aiming for. And we didn't think about January the 15th or May the 2nd.
You've been listening to part one of a broadcast we've titled Merging Premarital Expectations here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker. And Dr. Meeker, as we talked about at the top of this program, today's topic really is important for couples who are preparing for marriage.
Absolutely. You know, Ryan, it's so important to talk about things like money, faith, and family before couples get married. Because those little problems while a couple are dating become major problems once they're married. Women say all the time, I can change him once we get married. That simply is not true. Yes, men do change once they're married, but when it comes to the fundamental structure of the home, you can't begin your marriage with disagreements.
I couldn't agree with you more. I like to tell people there are two lists you have to make before you get married. The first list is negotiables, and the second are non-negotiables, or deal breakers. And Dr. Meeker, it sounds to me like you're talking about these non-negotiables, or these deal breakers.
Yes, we are. But I also have the feeling that there are some people out there listening to us today who are already married and are just now realizing they didn't talk through some of these important issues.
Yeah.
Maybe you're starting to sense some tension in your marriage, and because of this program, you were able to identify the cause. It might not be the best idea for you to go home tonight, sit down with your spouse and say, hey, I figured out where you're messing up. Instead, you may want some help working through these issues between you and your spouse. And we're here to help. Call us at 877-732-6825, and we'll be glad to set you up with a counselor in your area who can help your marriage regroup and establish a foundation that'll help you and your spouse thrive.
Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in picking up a copy of the Himes book, Happily Ever After, A Real-Life Look at Your First Year of Marriage and Beyond, you can visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at that number Dr. Meeker mentioned a moment ago, 877-732-6825. And before we go, I want to remind you that Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk is completely listener-supported. It's because of generous people like you that we're able to offer amazing programs like the ones we're sharing with you today. It's also because of that support that we have a system in place to connect people with counselors and to help families thrive. If you'd like to donate to the work of Family Talk, visit us online at drjamesdobson.org, download our smartphone app, visit our Facebook page, or call us at 877-732-6825.
And be sure to join us again next time when we will hear the conclusion of merging premarital expectations here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us by downloading the new Family Talk mobile app. You can not only use the app to hear our broadcast 24 hours a day, but you can view video commentaries or get answers to your family-related questions with our Solid Answers tool. They're all free and available on Android, iPhone, and iPad devices. I hope you'll visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.